This is ChestertonRadio.com.
We're on the air with a school kids questionnaire brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer and one-a-day brand vitamin tablets. And here they are, the quiz kids, with Jack Benny as our special guest. Five quiz kids, get ready for those examination questions you listeners sent in. And if you hear your name on a question, you'll know a Zenith Portable Radio is on its way to you. Because we give a Zenith Portable for every question used on the show. You just mail your questions to Quiz Kids Chicago. We may rewrite them, and we must be sole judges in case of similarity. And now, with the rules and regulations taken care of, we'll get on with the quiz under the tutelage of our chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Fort Pearson, and good evening, everyone. Fort forgot to mention one rule. Of the five quiz kids, the three with high scores come back again. Now, we had one quiz kid who could never come back again on that basis because he got no score at all. So tonight, we bring him back anyway as guest judge. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Jackie Benny. Now, His Honor, Judge Benny, is going to be a little late for school tonight because he's giving his own show for the Army Air Force's Technical Training School away across town in Chicago. So we've arranged for a special escort to rush him here to the studios, and we have reserved an elevator, and it's waiting below to whisk him up to the 19th floor. And while we're waiting, we get on with roll call. Harvey?
I'm Harvey Bennett Fishman. I'm 12 years old and in the 8th grade at the Bradwell School.
Margaret?
I'm Margaret Merrick. I'm 14 years old. I live in Western Springs, and I'm a sophomore at Lyons Township High School.
Richard?
I'm Richard Williams. I'm 13 years old, and I'm in the 8th grade at Roosevelt School, East Chicago, Indiana.
Ruthie?
I'm Lysandra Duskin. I'm 8 years old, and I'm in 5th grade at the Parkside School.
And Joel?
I am Joel Kupperman. I am 6 years old and 2A at Volta School.
Say, wait a minute, Joel. I thought you were going to be on Jack Benny's program right now. What happened?
Well, you see, the government needed some of the time on Jack Benny's program, and both the government and me wouldn't be time enough for both the government and me, and the government was more important than me, so I got off.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, now that's a splendid way to look at it, Joel, and I really admire you. You really are a true little American gentleman. Meantime, Fort Pearson will take over in the mathematics department.
Well, here's the answer to one family problem, Joel. You can add to your comfort and subtract plenty from your miseries if you try Alka-Seltzer when you're bothered with a headache or a touch of acid indigestion. In addition, you'll find Alka-Seltzer soothing when you have an upset stomach, simple neuralgia, or muscular aches and pains. And what's more, you can divide the small cost of Alka-Seltzer by the number of times it may prove helpful. And you'll find the price isn't even a fraction of the comfort it can bring. And that's exactly why the folks who praise Alka-Seltzer are multiplying day by day. Well, that's all for me, Joe. Let the quiz kids take over.
All right, Fort. Well, children, your first question is from Phil P. Greenwood of Brentwood, Maryland. If you were in a hurry to drain the water out of your bathtub, would it drain quicker if you continued to sit in the tub after pulling the plug or if you climbed right out? Richard?
If you sat in the tub, it would drain quicker because the depth of the water would be greater and so the pressure varies directly as the depth of the water, and it'd be deeper, so it'd go out quicker.
That's right, Richard, my boy. Good for you. Well, now, let's see. Harvey has his hand up. Harvey?
Well, I agree with Richard, and there's another reason, too. Well, the water would be higher, and a little bit of it would go out the drain that's on top of the tub, too.
Well, now, say, there's an angle we didn't cover. Okay, good boy, Harvey. Well, now, next question. I hope you won't be at sea answering this question from John H. Barron of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He wants you to think of three seas named after countries or islands. Joel?
The San Sea, I read in Dan Winslow of the Navy, and there's two of them, the North San Sea and the East San Sea, and there's the Irish Sea and the Arabian Sea.
Well, that's fine, Joel. That's all right, believe me. Well, we've got some more hands up. Let's see how far we can go with this. Margaret?
There's the Bering Sea.
Bering Sea? After a country or an island, Margaret?
Well, there is a Bering Island in Bering Strait.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to take your word for it. I don't have it on my card. I'm sorry. All right, Harvey?
Well, there's the Java Sea, and I think there's one called the Japan Sea.
Well, that is right. Now, Java Sea, that's another one that I'll have to look up, I'm afraid, because I don't have that on my card. Well, we've got more than enough. Thanks very, very much, kids. We better get along to the rest of our questions now. Gene Archer of Dallas, Texas, must be anticipating spring house cleaning. He wants to know how much it costs to wash completely a window 4 feet wide and 5 feet high at 2 cents a square foot. Margaret?
20 cents.
How much?
20 cents.
You say 20 40, cents?
No. It'd be 20 square feet, so it'd be 40 cents.
No. Richard?
80 cents, because you'd have to wash both sides.
Both sides of the window, that's right. I said complete. Yes, sir. That was sort of a little catchy question, Margaret. All right, next question. Esther Woodward of Cleveland, Ohio, points out that some characters in literature are decidedly off the beam. What did these characters do to make you think they are a little off up here? The first character is Ophelia. Margaret?
Ophelia murdered.
Well, I think I'm going to have something more than that.
From Hamlet.
Beg pardon?
She's from Hamlet.
Hamlet, by whom?
William Shakespeare.
That's right. Well, let's see if we can't get something further on Ophelia here. That's all right, Margaret. Ruthie?
What do you mean by off the beam?
Beg pardon? Well, that means, you know, a little bit touched in the upper story up here, see?
She drowned herself.
That's right. And, Margaret, I think that you'll find that Ophelia didn't murder.
Murdered herself. I forgot about suicide.
Oh, I see. Yes, she drowned herself. All right, well, I guess that takes care of Ophelia. Now, how about Papageno? Papageno. Ruthie?
Well, he lied.
Well, yes. Can you tell us something else about him?
Well, he was a bird catcher, and he was condemned to serve Tamina in his search for Pamina.
Where would you find Papageno?
In the magic flute.
By whom?
Mozart.
By Mozart, that's right. Now, the next character is Mr. Billingsley. Richard?
Well, he just does sort of silly things around Jack Benny's house.
tell me, Richard, can you quote him on anything?
Well, when we were on his program, he came in and he said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Benny, playing with the kitties, I see."
Richard, can you tell me who takes the part of Mr. Billingsley?
I think it's Bill Morrow.
No. No. It's, that's beside the point. It's Eddie Beloine, another of Jack Benny's writers. All right? So far, so good, kids. Well, now, Mrs. Frank C. Doyle of Elmira, New York, sends in these descriptions of girls mentioned in song. What are the songs? This first lady is described by the author as the girl with the strawberry curls. Harvey?
That's Casey. The band played on, and Casey would walk with the strawberry blonde. And the part that says the strawberry curls is he'd nail leave the girl with the strawberry curl, and the band played on.
Well, can you sing part of it for us, Harvey?
He nearly the girl with the strawberry curl, and the band played
Thanks, everybody. One of the walls, certainly. That was fine. Now, here's the next one. The buckwheat cake wore in her mouth, the tear was in her eye. Richard?
Well, that's Susanna. From Oh, Susanna by Stephen Foster.
That's right. And I didn't really think you kids would get that because that's rather obscure. It's in the second verse, by the way. But can you sing part of Oh, Susanna?
Oh, that goes, the buckwheat cake was in her mouth, tear was in her eye. Says I, I'm coming from the south. Susanna, don't you cry.
That's very, very nice, Richard. Very nice. All right, Gordon S. Slaughter of Vestal, New York, sends in this Bible question. He wants to know who got left behind in each of these instances in the Bible. Here's the first instance. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Margaret?
Well, Lot escaped, and Lot's wife did not. She was turned to a pillar of salt.
That's right, Margaret. Now, here's the next instance. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye be true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. Ruthie?
Simeon. Was
that Simeon, name? That's right. Good for you. Well, the next question is one that comes up in most every home where there are youngsters.
How can I get my children to take their vitamins without a lot of nagging and coaxing?
Well, that's easy. No doubt you're referring to vitamins A and D, or perhaps you call them the cod liver oil vitamins. Well, why don't you give these vitamins to your children in pleasant-tasting tablet form? Yes, I mean one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablets made by Miles. Each of these easy-to-take tablets actually contains even more than a normal daily supply of vitamins A and D. And these one-a-day tablets are so pleasant-tasting, the children can chew them like candy. And of course, Mother, from your point of view, you avoid not only the coaxing and nagging, but also there's no sticky spoons to wash, no greasy stains on clothes or tablecloth. These winter days, when so many colds are going around, it's wise to give the grown-ups, as well as the children, the vitamin protection of one-a-day vitamin A and D tablets. You take just a single tablet a day, and it costs very little, hardly more than a penny a day when you buy the family-size package at your drugstore. Remember that name, one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablets made by the Miles Laboratories. Now, let's have more questions, teacher.
All right, Fort. Well, kids, Ruth Collins of St. Louis, Missouri, wonders whether you can shed any light on how these quotations end. Both mention candles. How far that little candle, and then what's the rest of it? Ruthie?
How far that little candle throws its beam, how shines a good deed in this naughty world.
Well, that's almost true, word for word. Let's see if we can't get in the correct words, Ruthie. Who's that by the way, Ruthie? Well, let's see if Margaret can tell us. Margaret?
Well, Portia says that's in The Merchant of Venice, also by Shakespeare, and how far that little candle throws its beams, so shines on a good deed in a naughty world.
That's right. You were off on just one word. It's his beams instead of its beams. Well, all right. We mustn't get too technical. Here's the next one now. In winter, I get up. Harvey?
In winter, I get up at night and dress by yellow candlelight. In summer, quite the other way, I have to go to bed by day.
And that's by
Robert Louis Stevenson. It's, I think, a child's garden of verses.
Well, the name of it is... Let's see if we can bring that out. Joel?
Bed in Summer.
Bed in Summer, that's it. Yeah. Uh-oh, hold everything. The door's opening, and yes, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, His Honor Judge Jack Benny.
Can I talk through here?
I don't know.
through here?
Well, all right, over there.
I hate to butt in on this thing. I'm sorry I'm late, but you see, I have my own program every Sunday night at 6 o'clock in Chicago, and I just got through with my own, and I had to run back to my hotel at the Stockyards Plaza, and I... And then I had trouble coming. You know how the crowded the cabs are now. You can't get any cabs or anything. So I finally got in a streetcar, and I had an argument with a conductor there. I just happened to ask him if they make rates for actors, and they said no, and had a little trouble there. Where do you want me to sit?
Right over here, Judge. Yes, but listen, you didn't need to go to all that bother. Ordinarily, our judges don't go in for white wigs, you know.
I'm going to find out pretty soon who's going to be the comedian here. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Judge, school's already in session, so you'd better take your place at the judge's.
Yeah, I'm glad to see all these kids again.
I bet you are. Dad, we're mighty glad to see you.
Gosh, I haven't seen them since we played together about 20 years ago at the Palace, you know?
By the way, Judge, here are the scores up to this point, and you can carry on from there and keep tabs on the scores. All right. Now, let's see.
Pardon me, I put on my glasses. I'm at that trombone age, you know, where you get that thing.
Well, that's all right. That's all right, Jack. Don't apologize. Now, here's our next question here. Here's a surprising question from Joe Hefner of Hamburg, New York.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is for the children, yeah. Now, who was the last Democratic president to serve only one term? The last Democratic president to serve only one term. Margaret?
I think it was Calvin Coolidge.
No. Oh, no. No.
No, no, it wasn't Coolidge.
No, it wasn't. No. I'm glad you're listening.
Was he president at all? Oh, he was. He was, yes.
Oh, Judge, please. After all. All right, let's see what Harvey has to say.
Was it Buchanan?
Well, now, I'm asking you...
That's Buchanan.
That's just who it was. James Buchanan. You really knew that.
I was hoping he'd get it. Yes, I did. I thought it was very good.
All right, now, who was the last Republican president to serve two full terms?
Fred Allen.
No. All right. Now, Judge...
I'm sorry.
Okay, Harvey?
You looked at something... I think you're listening to Mr. Grant.
You think?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, I am too. That's what it was. Yeah, that's the answer. Now then, here's a math question from Frank Clark of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Assume that the world is 25,000 miles in circumference. If you walked around the world at the equator, you wouldn't lose your head, but it would go faster than your feet. Approximately... How much farther would the top of your head travel than the soles of your feet? You are 5 1/2 feet tall.
Would you mind repeating that?
Judge, I don't think it's necessary. Oh, we have some hands up.
Pardon me.
I think I'll call on Richard.
Well, Joel, smaller than I am, so why don't you let him answer it?
Uh-huh. That's a nice gesture, Richard. It looks to me we're going to be so polite around here tonight, we won't get this question answered at all. So we'll let Joel try it, and then we'll check with you, Richard. All right, Joel.
5 feet 1 1/2 inches times 2 would equal 10 feet 3 inches times... That's 10 1/4 times 3 1/7. 10 times 3 1/7 equals 31 3/7. And a quarter of 3 1/7 equal 11 fourteenths plus 31 3/7 equal 32 3/14 feet.
Well, now, let's check with Richard on that. Richard?
Well, either I misunderstood or Joel did. I thought you said that you were supposed to be 5 1/2 feet tall.
Yeah, that's right.
But he figured it for 5 feet 1 1/2 inches.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's start all over again. I'm sorry.
You see, I was right in asking you to repeat the question.
Ha, ha, ha. You certainly were, Judge.
You know, I mean, after all, I'm a guest here, you know. You've got to treat me with a little courtesy, Mr. Kelly.
Well, I'm very, very sorry.
Just because you're running for mayor again, you know.
I'm sure Edward J. thanks you very, very much for that plug.
The FBI asked me to come over here. I'm not getting paid for this, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, let's start all over again. Joel, do you think you've got it right now? 5.5 feet tall.
Well, 5.5 times 2 equals 11 times 3 in the south equals 34 and 4/7.
34 4/7 is right. Good for you. Oh, that's
funny,
marvelous.
Joe, I had 33.5. I was just a little bit off there. I'm sorry.
Well, I think
I must have figured that wrong.
You left
33.5.
Evidently, you left the pi part out.
The cubic. I had the cubic meter in
there.
Oh,
that's where you were wrong. Yes, I got
33.5. I can't figure out.
Well, Joel, after the broadcast, will you get together with the judge and explain it to him?
Well, you have to multiply by 2, and then... Yeah.
Well, I did it! I multiplied.
What?
No, wait, here. Wait a minute. Joel...
You see, you multiply by 2, and then you multiply... That by 3.5.
I know, I did it twice. I multiplied it twice, and I got 33.5.
Then you must have been wrong on the...
Well, okay, all right, Joe. Joe, listen, I'd just like to say one thing. When I was 8 years old, I used to be able to answer all these questions, too. But believe me, 20 years makes a difference. You forget.
Well, we'll... We'll take that up after the broadcast, Joel. Thanks a lot.
Anytime Joel wants to make something out of it, you know. See him later.
I'll tell you what. You can
all
make catch...
him any day he ever saw, you know.
Judge, pardon me. Yeah. You can all catch your breath a minute now while Fort Pearson goes on with the vitamin lesson.
Thank you, Joe. This time I would like to talk about the B vitamins that are so important in our daily diet. Yes, the same B vitamins that you find in one-a-day brand vitamin B complex tablets made by Miles. These B vitamins are found in meat, whole grains, various fruits, and vegetables. They're extremely important where energy, digestion, and nerves are concerned. So, if you're feeling sort of all tired out and nervous, it could be you're not getting enough of those B vitamins. And just so you won't have to bother with them 3 or 4 times each busy day, the Miles Laboratories developed this single one-a-day brand B-Complex tablet to give you the full minimum daily supply of all the B vitamins for which requirements have been established. Yes, all in one little pleasant-tasting tablet. And what's more, you'll find them low price, too. A whole month supply for just 90 cents. That's a name to remember and insist on when you're buying B vitamins. One-a-day brand vitamin B-Complex tablet made by Miles Laboratories. Now, the next question, please, Joe.
All right, Fort. Are you ready, Judge?
Yes.
All right. Now, here is a question
can't
from
understand
Mrs. Mary.
I got 33.5 there.
Here is a question from Mrs. Marion P. Miller of New Orleans about famous Allens. I want you to identify them. The first one is Ethan Allen. Margaret?
Well, he and his Green Mountain boys cleaned up on the British. Before and during the Revolutionary War.
That's right. Good for you. All right. How about Alan Adale? Joel?
In the book, it was in the book Robin Hood, and Robin Hood helped Alan Adale win the wife he wanted.
That's right, Joel. Can you tell us something else about him?
He was a minstrel.
Uh-huh.
I mean a minstrel.
That's right. All right, well, thanks very much. Now, wait a minute. I thought there'd be a third part to this question. Another Alan.
There was a juggler by the name of Alan.
Oh, a juggler. Well, I couldn't think of...
He was sort of a louse, if I may.
Well, I really couldn't think of one myself, so I guess we'd better get along here. Now, we're going to have some fun with this question from Arlene Erickson of Bellingham, Washington. She wants you to make up some sentences or expressions using the names of popular brands of soap. Punning is permitted. All right, now let's have some sentences or expressions using the names of popular brands of soap. Margaret?
If I had my way, I would bury him.
Uh-huh. Well, I...
Well, we're back to Alan again.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Margaret. All right, any more? Ruthie?
Well, you mean the name of the soap?
Yes, you can use the name of a soap.
You are my sweetheart.
Ruthie, that was cute. That was a doozer. Yes, sirree, that's all right. Any more? All right, Joel?
I was just going to say that the one Margaret said was not a real verse. It was blank verse.
Blank verse. How about that, Judge? It's Judge. Huh?
Blank verse?
Yes.
Well, I can't agree with Joel.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Well, all right, then. I think we'd better...
Not until we get that other argument settled on 33 and a half before I agree with him on this.
All right. Well, I'm for Joel.
I can't understand how I got 33 and a half on that thing.
All right, Margaret?
Well, you could say, it's a blackout. Look, turn off the light.
Yeah, you could. That's all right. Harvey?
Well, this doesn't have to be any particular... Brand of soap. Oh, we'll use palm olive. Palm olive for the phosphorescent skin.
Well, it's all right, too. I think Ruthie is really caught on to the idea now, Ruthie.
There's an ivory statue over there.
An ivory statue. Well, that's all right. Very good. By the way, Judge,
yes?
I said punning is permitted. Would you like to participate in this?
Well, I don't know. I... come in contact with soap so little, I...
Quite. Well, okay, let's get along. Uh-oh, there's the bell. Yes, sirree.
The bell saved me.
You certainly did. Yes, that was the last bell. School time's up. And now it's time for His Honor Judge Benny to demonstrate his jurisprudence.
My what?
Well, Jack, you do have the scores ready.
Oh, the score.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, don't rush me. I'm double-checking. Let's see. 5-5 is 55. Carry over the square peg into the round root. I still got 33 and a half. And look, Kelly, you're not going to put me in a spot like this. No.
Well, what do you mean, Jack? You're here as the judge, you know, and you're supposed to add the scores and decide which three of the five quiz kids come back next week.
Oh, I am. Well, listen, Mr. Kelly, the quiz kids are all friends of mine, and the way my scores come out, all five of them tied for first place, and they all come back next week.
Well, that's certainly fair, Your Honor. And I know
figure out how he got 34 and 47.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Now, we'll have Joel get together with you after the broadcast, Joel, by the way, after the broadcast.
Yeah.
And then he can explain everything to you, and I'm sure that he will straighten you out on that, I'm sure.
I'd like to have him straighten out how I can save a dime out of my income tax next year, too. Together later, Joel. We'll figure
yes,
thing
you
out.
Two fellows get together. Now, as I said before, that was certainly fair of you, Jack, and I know there'll be no appealing your decision. Now, of course, you know we give each quiz kid a $100 denomination war bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And these bonds are...
Oh, I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah.
Who gives $100?
The makers of
Alka-Seltzer. Oh, yes. I thought it was the judge for a moment. I got a little bit there.
Yeah, the children get them.
Oh,
now,
okay.
These bonds are to help the children with their future education.
I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't get anything. No bonds or anything.
No, that's just for the children.
I just come over here for nothing. I see.
Well,
Joe, that thing, they help our boys on the fighting front for such things as liberty and democracy and freedom of education, which makes possible splendid American youngsters like the quiz.
Thank you very much, Jack. And thank you very, very much for lending us your judicial presence tonight. Yeah. Well, school's over. This is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids class until this same time next Sunday. Good night, kids.
Good night, Mr. Kelly.
Good night, Judge Benny.
Good night, teacher.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every Sunday at this same time. Jack Benny appeared on the Quiz Kids program through the courtesy of the General Foods Corporation. This is Fort Pearson speaking.
This program came to you from Chicago. This is the Blue Network.
The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer for headaches.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold distress.
Yes, when these occasional ailments make you miserable, take Alka-Seltzer for really fast, really effective relief.
And now, attention class, listen closely. Here's your first question. If you combine the symbols for molybdenum, thorium, and erbium, what would you have?
Say, there's a real puzzler. Did you folks at home get that? And can you answer it? Well, give it a try while we have roll call here in our classroom. And here they are, the Quiz Kids. And now here's the man who fires a battery of questions into the battle of brains and who is sometimes battered down by the answers... Your own chief quizzer, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Franklin Ferguson, and hello, everyone. Well, speaking of battles, we have a real one lined up for you today, friends. It's the Quiz Kids versus Quiz Kids Mothers. Yes, today on Mother's Day, the youngsters here in our classroom are going to match wits with their mothers, and, well, the sparks should fly. It's all in friendly fun, however. If you could see these kiddies, you could tell they're really mighty proud to have Mom attending school this afternoon. You know, just before we went on the air, each youngster gave his mother a beautiful corsage. And I can tell you, the four lovely ladies seated here in front of me look mighty proud and happy, too. Well, let's have roll call right now and identify them. Here we go. Sarah?
I'm Mrs. Saul Kupperman, housewife. My husband's a structural engineer.
And her son?
I'm Joel Kupperman, age 11 and 7/8.
Mrs. Kupperman, I don't believe you gave your age.
Oh, well, we weren't told to.
Oh, is that so? Well, all right. Well, then we'll just skip it. Next, we have Alma.
I'm Mrs. Joe Mullen, housewife. My husband teaches at the University of Chicago.
And her son?
I'm Mike Mullen. I'm 10 years old and grade 5.
Marcella?
I'm Mrs. Patrick Conlon. I'm a housewife, and my husband is an attorney at law.
And her son?
I am Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 10 years old and in sixth grade.
And Rose?
I'm Mrs. Julius Cooks. I'm a housewife, and my husband is employed at Armour & Company.
And her daughter?
I'm Naomi Cooks. I'm 9 years old and in the sixth grade.
All right. Now then, which team can answer that first question from Mrs. I.O. Ebert of Washington, D.C.? If you combine the symbols for molybdenum, thorium, and erbium, what would you have? We have about five hands up here, and little Patrick's hand was up first. All right, Pat.
Well, molybdenum is M-O.
M-O.
Thorium is T-H.
T-H.
And erbium is E-R, so it's mother.
That's right, Patrick. Mother. That's our first question on this Mother's Day. Yes, sir. Of course, we're just joking. There's a lot more to mother than just molybdenum and thorium and erbium. Well, you knew the answer to that one right off, and that means that Mrs. I.O. Ebert of Washington, D.C. wins a fine Zenith transoceanic portable radio, the most outstanding in its field today. That's the reward that Alka-Seltzer gives to every listener who sends us a question which is used on our program. If your question is answered correctly, you get your fine Zenith transoceanic standard shortwave portable radio in a handsome luggage case. If your question is missed, the reward is a magnificent 239-50 Zenith radio phonograph combination. This has the automatic record changer, the new Cobra tone arm, two FM bands, and it's a real beauty. You'll be exceptionally proud of either Zenith radio, so send those questions along, folks. Send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Well, this question is from Billy Fritz Helwing of West Allis, Wisconsin. If after school you quiz kids were to bring home Little Bo Peep, Little Boy Blue, Brer Rabbit, and Peter Pan, what one place might you stop to pick them up other than the library or a bookshop? First hand up, Mrs. Mullen.
The grocery store.
Why do you say it's the grocery store?
Peter Pan is peanut butter.
Yes.
Brer Rabbit is molasses.
Molasses.
And what was the other?
Little Boy Blue.
Oh, that's a rinse, starch, or bluing.
Bluing, yes. No coaching the audience. Now, little Bo Peep is what?
Well, that's the rinse, isn't it?
Well, now, wait a minute. We have some more hands up here.
No, little Bo Peep is ammonia.
That's right, Mrs. Cook. That's absolutely right. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to see that you know your groceries. Yes, sirree. Here's our next question. Rosalind Samfield of Memphis, Tennessee. Supposes you children had favorite lullabies that your mother sang to you to put you to sleep way back when you were little children. Can you still remember the names after all these years? Patrick?
Well, I remember one that I like very much. It's Tura-Lura-Lura.
Oh, that's a dandy. And how
the
about...
The Irish lullaby.
Uh-huh, that's right. And how about you, Naomi?
Well, I remember Brahms' lullaby.
Brahms' lullaby? Watch your chair there, Patrick. Don't fall off. Well, now, Joel?
Well, my favorite lullaby is Brahms' lullaby, but my mom never sang me to sleep.
She never sang you to sleep at all?
No.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, now can you mothers still remember them, and can you sing them for us? With the exception, of course, Mrs. Copperman. Joel says she didn't sing in the speech. How about the... Mrs. Cooks?
Well, I'll try. I used to kind of add in some of my own words.
Well, that's all right. That's perfect. All right.
Lullaby and... Go to sleep with roses, do, do, do. Go to sleep, Naomi dear. Go to sleep, dear baby.
Ah, that's fine. That's wonderful. All right, so how about you, Mrs. Conlon?
I'll try, too.
All right.
Tura-lura-lura, tura-lura-lura, tura-lura-lura. That's an Irish lullaby.
Oh, that's fine. All right. Mrs. Mullen?
I think Michael liked Kentucky Babe and Brahms' Lullaby, but Mark had a favorite that was really not a lullaby. It's an old Welsh love song, I think. It's called All Through the Night. And we never knew why he liked it until one time he asked me to sing the Piece of Candy song. Found out later that he'd misunderstood the words all the time. The first line is... Sleep, my love, and peace attend thee.
Oh.
But Mark thought
baby
that I was...
Baby talk, peace attend thee.
So he asked me to sing it like this.
All right, let's hear it.
Sleep, my love, and peace of candy all through the night.
Oh, that's good. Mrs. Copperman has her hand up.
Well, Joe says I never sang to him, but he used to sing himself to sleep.
Two is far, far and far is eight. Eight is 16. 16 and 16 is 32.
Oh, wonderful. Just like Joel, yeah. Mathematically speaking, of course. Well, those were all very, very good, and we enjoyed them very much. Now, here's our next question. Tom Grishaber of Appleton, Wisconsin, says he often hears Latin expressions used in everyday conversation. He's curious to know just what is the literal translation of these phrases. The first one, alma mater, the literal translation. Mrs. Mullen.
Tender mother.
Well, you're pretty close, pretty close. Mrs. Copperman?
Is that old mother?
No, mother is the last word. Mrs. Conlon?
I think it's just our mother.
No, Mrs. Mullen?
In Spanish, it would mean soul or spirit, and in Latin, I think it's the idea of care.
Well, that's
carefulness,
very, very,
tenderness.
Very close. It really means foster,
foster
mother. That's the literal translation. All right, see if you get this next one here. Ad lib. Ad lib. What's the literal translation of ad lib? Patrick?
Well, that's off the record or something like that. It's according to schedule.
Well, let's see. Mrs. Conlon?
To speak freely, I think, is the
Well, that's very, very close. Mrs. Mullen?
At liberty.
Well, at liberty, that's the literal translation of ad lib. That's right. Well, you missed on that, and that means that Tom Grishaber of Abilene, Wisconsin, is going to get one of the big 239-50 Zenith radio phonograph combinations from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Now, Harold Levine of Binghamton, New York, wants us to have some fun with his question. You are to use automobile terms to describe a defeated politician. For instance, you might say he doesn't have the spark he once had. That's the idea. Patrick?
Somebody threw a monkey wrench in his wheels of policy, or its wheels aren't working anymore.
Well, that's a good one for a starter, Mrs. Copperman.
He's thinking in the Ford.
He's what?
He's thinking in the Ford.
Oh, he's thinking in the Ford. And Mrs. Cook? Mrs. Conlon?
He certainly had a muffler put on him.
I certainly had a muffler put on him. That's a dandy, Joel.
Out of gas, or you could say he's just tired.
Tired, Mike?
Well, you might say that if he had been defeated a long time ago, you might say he was an old jalopy.
He's an old jalopy, yeah, that's a good one, too. Well, that bell brings the first question session between the Quiz Kids and their mothers to a close. And the scores up to now are Quiz Kids 45 and Mothers 60. Well, what do you know about that? Oh, boy. That's nice going, Mothers. Yes, sir, B. That's very nice going. But this battle isn't over yet. The Quiz Kids have a surprise for you. They have arranged to run in an entire fresh team of their brothers and sisters. They brought them along just in case. And now, while we get this brother and sister relief team ready for roll call, here is Franklin Ferguson with a special guest.
Yes, and she's a typical mother. She's receiving special honors today, but we say she deserves them every day of the year, for she's the mainstay of every household, the person who anticipates the family's wants and needs, who supplies their comfort, and who is the mediator in all those little irritating situations that arise.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Every mother appreciates those words. But in speaking of those little irritating situations that arise in every household, do you realize how often we mothers need help in straightening them out?
Help? Let's see now. You wouldn't mean...
Yes, indeed I would mean Alka-Seltzer, as you very well know. Why, when the man of the house comes home after a hard day at the office, and he's cross and irritable with a headache, we let Alka-Seltzer help straighten that situation out.
Of course it does, and in a hurry, too, right?
Yes, that's very true. That's what we like about Alka-Seltzer. It's so dependable, always so fast-acting, not only for relief from occasional headache, but for acid indigestion, too. Why, when someone in the family overeats, out comes the Alka-Seltzer bottle. And when someone in the family has a cold... Well, we found that Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment is ever so helpful in relieving so much of the distress.
Well, say, I certainly don't have to convince you that it's a good idea to get the extra package when you buy Alka-Seltzer.
I know it is, Mr. Ferguson. I always ask for two packages of Alka-Seltzer instead of one. And I can give you the reason in rhyme, too. An extra package on the side keeps the family well supplied.
All right, now here we go with the second half of our contest, and this time competing against their own mothers, we have Joel's sister.
I'm Joel's sister, Harriet Kellerman. I'm 13 years old and in 1A.
Mike's brother?
I'm Mike's brother. I'm Mark Mullen. I'm 7 years old and in second grade.
Patrick's sister?
I am Pip's sister. I'm Sheila Kellerman in third grade. I'm 8 years old in third grade.
And Naomi's brother?
I'm Naomi's brother, George Crooks. I'm 14 years old and in 8A.
All right, here we go now with our double board. Mrs. Merle Hoffman of North Manchester, Indiana, points out that mothers oftentimes have very unusual situations to meet in connection with their children. What mother found she could identify her son by his peculiar habit of putting his hand over his face when she touched him? Harriet?
Mrs. Canty in The Prince and the Pauper.
That's right, the mother of Tom Canty. That's right, honey. Now, what mother sang so poorly in public on one occasion she thought she embarrassed her own son? No hands up. Mrs. Mullen?
I did.
You did. We almost caught you off guard there, didn't we? Well, what was that one about the Boy Scout meeting?
Yes.
I understand Mike did a little blushing. What did Mark think of it?
Well, Mark said that I hadn't embarrassed him, and I felt all right about it until he said, "I just figured nobody would know you were my mother."
Oh. Well, you sounded all right on that singing question a little while ago, I want to tell you. Now, here's the next question. I'm sure we all enjoy watching for various kinds of birds as they return from their winter migration. But according to Harry R. Smith of Evanston, Illinois, there are a number of birds that just stay at home all the year round. Now, can you name any of these stay-at-homes, Mrs. Kupperman?
Well, we have a robin that stays at our place all year round.
All year round, a robin?
It has its nest in the eaves of the porch. And then we have the cardinal that stays, too. Unusually so, but it does.
Both of those are very unusual. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, Mark?
The owl stays.
Yeah,
so
the owl.
The pigeon.
Yes, the owls and the pigeon, yes. And Mrs. Collins?
A sparrow stays around all the time.
That's right.
And I've seen crows most all the
time. Yes, crows do, too. Mm-hmm. All right, and Harriet?
Some woodpeckers do, too.
Some woodpeckers, that's right. Now then, you'll have to think back quite a few years on this question from Lewis R. Owens of Jacksonville, Florida. Can you name three makes of automobiles that are no longer manufactured? George?
There's the Apperson Jackrabbit,
yeah.
The Briscoe,
yeah.
And the Duryea.
The Duryea. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And there's the Duesenberg.
The Duesenberg, yes.
The Auburn.
Auburn.
Marmon, the Marion.
Marmon.
The Moon.
The Moon. I remember all of them very well. Go ahead, George. Go on.
Haynes Apperson.
The Haynes Apperson, yeah.
And...
All right, well, let's, Mrs. Kupperman.
Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Jack Benny's Maxwell.
And an old Essex we used to have.
Essex. And Mrs. Conlon?
Graham Page, I think.
Graham Page and Mrs. Cooks?
The Rio. Is that an old
yeah,
one?
Yeah, the Rio.
And
that's
the Briscoe.
Right. The what?
Briscoe.
The Briscoe.
Oh, maybe you don't remember that.
No, that was before my time, really. Yeah. Mrs. Mullen, what were you going to say?
The Overland, is that?
The thing? Overland. George again.
The Buckeye and,
The Buckeye?
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody in the audience will remember that one.
And the Octomobile.
The what?
The Octo-Auto, rather. And,
What one was that, George?
There's
what?
Eight wheels, the Octo-Auto.
Oh, the Octo-Auto.
Four wheels in the back and four wheels in the front.
Oh, I see, yes. Boy, when you had tire trouble, you really had tire trouble, didn't you? And Mrs. Cook?
How about the Angus?
Well, how about it? Just
you remember that one?
The Angus?
The Angus.
Well, all right, Mrs. Kupperman.
And they're not making these baby Austins anymore.
Well, that's true. I guess we could go on. There's about 2,500 of them. I had them all here in front of me. But, so here we go with the next question. Mrs. E.F. Foote of Appleton, Wisconsin, thinks that certain characters in mythology have unusual traits that might come in handy for any mother. Can you quiz kids and you mothers suggest any of these advantages that might be useful? Mrs. Conlon?
Well, yesterday when I went out to call Pat and Sheila in for dinner, I think I could have used Stentor's voice. He could be heard for 100 miles.
Oh, yes.
And then I could use a little bit of King Midas's golden touch with the price of things as they are today.
Oh, say, you're right there.
And the wisdom of Minerva in settling disputes.
Yes. And Mrs. Mullen?
Janice could look two ways at once.
Well, that's right, yes, uh-huh. If Mother did that, why, she could play bridge and watch the baby same time, yeah. Sheila?
Fireman and Bacchus received a magic picture from the gods that was always full of milk, and Mommy could use that with three children in the house.
Well, you just bet you she could, yes, sirree. And Harriet?
And Vulcan could fix anything around the house, and Mercury could run messages.
There's nothing personal in that, in so far as your father's concerned. I mean by fixing things around the house. Sheila, again.
Pegasus, the flying horse. Mommy could use that to get places faster, too.
That's right, you bet. Well, now, here's an opera question from H.J. Lillian, Fall of the Bronx, New York. What opera begins in a boudoir and ends with a reproduction of a certain fair? What opera? Mrs. Conlon?
I think that's Martha.
That's right, the opera Martha. That's correct. What opera begins in a man's study and ends in a prison? Mrs. Mullen.
Faust,
that's absolutely right. Well, now, let's see what... oh, here's a dandy. Yeah, now, this question is from Miss H.M. Hendricks of Plant City, Florida, and you are to get 2 on 3 parts. Name areas of land on the surface of the earth known as Greater and Lesser. Greater and Lesser. Mrs. Conlon?
Greater Antilles.
That's right, Greater
lesser
and Lesser
Antilles.
Antilles, that's correct. Upper and Lower. Upper and Lower. Mrs. Conlon.
Michigan.
Upper and Lower Michigan, correct. Inner and Outer. Mrs. Conlon.
Mongolia.
You, I asked for 2 out of 3. You gave me 3 out of 3. Well, before we have a try at this next question, here's Franklin Ferguson to question our listeners.
Yes, Joe, and I know I'll get all hands up on this one. Here it is, folks. As you're sitting there, relaxing, enjoying the leisure of this fine Sunday afternoon, don't you hate to think of getting up early tomorrow morning and going back to work? And say, it'll be twice as hard if you wake up with an annoying headache. You know, that occasionally happens. And I hope you also know what to do about it. If you've ever tried Alka-Seltzer, you do. That's for sure. Yes, thousands say there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer for really fast relief from a headache. The reason is this. Alka-Seltzer is already dissolved when you drink it. That means its pain-relieving ingredient, sodium acetyl salicylate, is really ready to go to work instantly. And because it's in sparkling solution, that effervescent base, Alka-Seltzer, gets there fast, gives fast relief. So it'll pay you to remember, when headache causes grief, misery can be brief. Take Alka-Seltzer for relief. Ask for Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore. Get it in either the 30 or 60 cent size package.
And now, mothers, here's where your competition really gets tough. Because the quiz kids are bringing in both teams to compete with you in this last session. And here they are, all 8 of them. And that means that you mothers will have to think just twice as fast on this next question. For this question from Jim P. Matthews of Horatio, Arkansas, you are to name women who appear in Shakespeare's plays. And I'll call on first one team and then the other. And you are to name one character at a time until one team fails to name one. All right, let's go. Women characters found in Shakespeare, and we'll start off with the mother's team first. Mrs. Cook?
Ophelia.
All right, kids.
Portia.
All right, mothers. Mrs. Conlon?
Nerissa.
Kids, Naomi?
Miranda.
Mrs. Copperman?
Julia.
Joel?
Olivia.
Mrs. Cook?
Hermione.
Patrick?
Amelia.
Mrs. Conlon?
Sylvia.
Naomi?
Catherine.
Mrs. Cooks again?
Gertrude.
All right, Patrick.
Lady Capulet.
Mrs. Conlon.
Desdemona.
Joel.
Hermia.
Well, we had that before, Joel.
There was 2 of them.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, Helena, I mean. Helena.
Huh? All right, fine. Mrs. Mullen.
Cleopatra.
Pat.
Imogene.
All right, Mrs. Cook.
Viola.
Joel.
Lady Percy.
Mrs. Conlon.
Gertrude.
Naomi?
Lady Montague.
Mrs. Cupp.
Juliet.
Harriet.
Hero.
All right, Mrs. Cook.
Lady Macbeth.
After all, there's only 12 here, you know. Patrick.
Charmian.
All right, Mrs. Copperman.
Beatrice.
Naomi.
One of the witches from Macbeth.
Mrs. Connor. We're getting down the bottom of the barrel here. I can
Lady
see that.
Lady Macduff.
Mrs. Connor.
Lady Macduff.
Lady Macduff. Patrick.
Iris.
Mrs. Mullen.
Olivia.
I think we had Olivia before.
Yeah,
pretty sure we did. Can you think of another one real quick?
All
right.
Yeah, one of the other witches.
One of the other witches. Oh, fine. Wonderful. That's good stuff. Yeah, all right. All right, kids, how about Joel?
The third witch.
The third witch. I knew that was coming. All right, mothers, we're back to you now. Mrs. Mullen?
Rosalind.
Rosalind. All right, Naomi?
Hamlet's mother.
Hamlet's mother. Mrs. Cook.
Isn't there a Rosalinda?
It could be. I've got a list here as long as that list of cars we had used.
It's Rosalind.
Huh?
It's Rosalind.
It's Rosalind, isn't it?
Well, Rosalind.
I'm pretty sure it's Rosalind. All right, Joel.
Cecilia.
Mrs. Conlon.
Aliana.
This could go on all afternoon. You're all of you are just too sharp. That's all there is to it. I think that deserves a nice big half. You folks out there. To keep peace in the family, we'll just call that a tie on that one. Well, let's have an expression of ideas from both you mothers and children on this subject suggested by Mrs. Frank M. Sherlock of Cranford, New Jersey. Do you believe that children should be seen but not heard?
All right, Mrs. Copperman.
I think that the children should have a right to be heard and to express their ideas, but properly.
All right, Mike?
Well, I think if the quiz kids was going to be here, children should be heard, because if they weren't heard, there wouldn't be any quiz kids.
Well, now, what do you know about that? Yes, sir. That's right. How about the rest of you mothers? Would you like to get in on this, Mrs. Cook?
Well, I'm inclined to agree along those lines.
You are?
Yes, uh-huh.
Definitely. And Patrick?
Well, sometimes, some people, I have a little habit of going up talking of being heard too much. But, of course, I think that being heard is all right, too.
Oh, you're in favor of you, then, in other words, huh? Mrs. Conlon.
I think children should be trained to be able to express their thoughts when they're asked to do so, or when the occasion arises that in the audience would like to hear what they have to say.
Yes, huh?
But I don't think that they should be taught to be too forward.
Mm-hmm. And Harriet?
I think it depends on the time and the place.
The time and the place. I think right. That's very, very logical. And let's see. Here's a little Mark here. Mark, what do you think, son?
I think it's all right if they don't do it too much.
It's all right, but don't do it too much. Now, how do you like that? He's a very serious little fellow, too, and he really means it. And Naomi?
I think it's all right that children should be heard.
You think it's all right? Well, okay, I guess that just about covers that very nicely. Now, let's see. We all know what names you mothers chose for your children, but Mrs. E.K. Chapman of Brooklyn, Massachusetts, wonders if you could make a good guess at what names are considered first and second in popularity for boys and for girls. Incidentally, if you happen to read the recent Gallup poll on this, you won't have to guess. All right, now let's see, we have Mrs. Mullen. Her hand is up.
John is the most popular boy's name.
That's right, that's number one, place number one.
William is second.
William is second, that's right. Now how about the girls?
Mary is first.
Mary is first.
And is it Elizabeth?
Elizabeth is second, that's right. Uh-huh, yes. Well, there's the old school bell. What a contest we've had. The judges will be ready to tell us which is the winning team in just a moment. While we're waiting to find out whether it's the mothers or the quiz kids, here's an important message for all you mothers listening in.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full 2-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins. Good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one-a-day.
Well, here's the big news, folks. The final score for the entire Battle of Brains today, Quiz Kids 134 and Mothers 199. Hooray! Well, congratulations, mothers. Bless your hearts. Even with the odds 2-1, you fought your way to victory. And believe me, that's some accomplishment. I know all you quiz kids are proud of your mothers. And you children put up a great fight, too. Yeah. Each one of you quiz kids receives a $100 savings bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. And each of you winning mothers receives a lovely Mother's Day gift from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And here it is. It's the new Z-Net. It's the new Z-Net Portable, a product of Zenith Radio Corporation, no larger than your handbag, yet it operates on either battery or house current. It's strikingly beautiful and one that will give you the excellent performance for which all Zenith radios are famous. Well, we were certainly happy to have you mothers with us this afternoon, and we all had a great time. And next Sunday, we're calling back our winners of 2 weeks ago. That's Joel Copperman, Lonnie Lundy, and Naomi Cooks to compete with two new quiz kids, Noreen Novick, 14, and Whit Humphrey, age 11. And now until next Sunday, when I hope all you listeners will plan to attend school, this is Joe Kelly dismissing class. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Goodbye, mothers.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every week and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday over most of these NBC stations. This is Franklin Ferguson speaking.
This is ChestertonRadio.com.
The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer for headache.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold distress.
Yes, when these occasional ailments make you miserable, take Alka-Seltzer for really fast, really effective relief.
And now, attention, class. Listen closely to today's first question. Why would Pennsylvania and Protactinium remind you of the third Sunday in June?
Well, there's something for you to mull over, friends. See if you can come up with the answer while we have roll call here in our classroom. And here they are, the quiz kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. Well, friends, we're certainly happy to have you attend school this afternoon, and we know you're going to enjoy the keen competitive spirit of this question session, for it's to be Quiz Kids versus Quiz Kids Fathers. Yes, on this Father's Day, the four young members of our Quiz Kids board are here to battle it out with Dad. These are the same youngsters who faced their mothers here in class just a little over a month ago on Mother's Day. On that occasion, the mothers won. Now we're going to find out once and for all which really are the smartest, Quiz Kids, their mothers, or their fathers. Right at this point, the dads are looking pretty confident. But Quiz Kids, even though you lost to your mothers, don't you children worry. If the going gets too tough, I'll even help you out myself. Yes, sir. If necessary, I'll have someone take my teacher's desk over here and get in there and fight on your side. You betcha. We'll show Dad a thing or two this afternoon. Maybe three or four, you never can tell. Right now, let's have roll call and get started. Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 12 years old in departmental and Volta school.
Joel's father?
Joel Kupperman, structural engineer.
Mike?
I'm Mike Mullen. I'm 10 years old and in the fifth grade at the University of Chicago Laboratory School.
Mike's father?
I'm Joe Mullen. I'm a teacher, the father of Mike and Mark, and the husband of Alan.
Oh, that's cute. Patrick.
I am Patrick Owen Conlon. I am 11 years old and in sixth grade at the Fort Dearborn School in Chicago.
And little Pat's father.
Patrick Conlon, lawyer. Father of Patrick, Sheila, and Deirdre.
Naomi.
I'm Naomi Cooks. I'm 10 years old and in the sixth grade of the Grover Cleveland School, Chicago.
And Naomi's papa.
I'm Julius Cooks, employed by Armour & Company, and the father of Naomi and George.
And now let's see which of our two boards has the answer to that first question from Grace M. Bowers, East Aurora, New York. Why would Pennsylvania and Protactinium remind you of the third Sunday in June? Let's see, we have four hands up, and little Pat's hand was first. All right, Patty.
Well, Pennsylvania, is the abbreviation is PA, and Protactinium, the symbol is PA, so then it'll be Pa, and so it'll be Father's Day.
That's right. Put them all together, they spell Pa-Pa. Ha-ha! Yes. Well, what do you know about that? Well, that question seemed to be pretty easy for you. Your answer was absolutely right, and that means Grace M. Bowers of East Aurora, New York, wins a fine Zenith Transoceanic Portable Radio, the most outstanding in its field today. That's Alka-Seltzer's reward to every listener who sends us a question which is used on our program. If your question is answered correctly, you get your fine Zenith Transoceanic Standard Shortwave Portable Radio in a good-looking luggage case. If it's a miss, the reward is the big Zenith radio phonograph combination. This has the automatic record changer, the new Cobra tone arm, two FM bands, and it's a real beauty. You'll be exceptionally proud of either Zenith Radio, so send those questions along, folks. Send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Well, here we go with more questions. Carl R. Canterbury of Moline, Illinois, points out that fathers have sometimes given their children good advice in the form of poetry. Can you quote the poetic advice each of these fathers gave? What advice did Polonius give his son Laertes? Naomi.
This above all. To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man.
That a girl, that's fine. What advice did Kipling give his son in the poem If? Julius?
If you keep your head. If?
What?
If you keep your head when others are losing it. If
You started out there all right. Let's see. We got two quiz kids' hands up. Joel?
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming on you, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't give way. If being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've given your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinews to serve your turn long after they are gone, and still hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on.
Yeah.
If you can talk with proud.
The name of that was
Stop,
If.
Stop now.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Joel. That wasn't exactly the short version, but that was all right. Yes, sir. Now that you've heard the advice poets of the past have given their children, you fathers are going to have a chance to do the same thing. At the suggestion of Lillian Curtis of Washington, D.C., you are to write a verse on what you consider to be good advice for the younger generation, and we'll ask you to read it later in the program. Now, this assignment is for fathers only, and we'll pass out paper and pencils to you, Dad, so you can get busy while we go along for more questions. Well, on this next one, you'll have to tune up your vocal cords, fathers and children, for this question from Mrs. E.J. Fleming of Andalusia, Pennsylvania. She wants you to think of songs that mention a nickname for father. All right, who wants to start it off? Little Pat.
Well, I was thinking there was Pop Goes the Weasel. Yes. All around the chicken coop, the possum takes the weasel. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel.
That's right, Pop. Yep, that's a nickname for father. And little Naomi has her hand up.
I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad.
That's a good one. Yes, sirree. Married dear old Dad. That's a nickname for father. And Joel has one, I think.
Dad's old-fashioned root beer. Dad's old-fashioned root
beer. Yeah, we're certainly in there rooting for Dad, all right, aren't we? Yeah. Well, all right, fine. Before we tackle this next question, here's Bob Murphy.
And friends, I've been doing a little figuring. If you're starting that 2 weeks vacation this weekend, you get the extra bonus of the 4th of July weekend, and you don't have to get back to work until Tuesday, July 6th. Of course, you probably had that all thought out way ahead of me. But say, if you are starting that vacation, how about a little checking up? If you're taking a trip in the car, remember, your plans are not complete if you've left out Alka-Seltzer. While you don't know how important Alka-Seltzer can be on that vacation, true, maybe you won't need it at all, but then again, maybe you will. Suppose, for instance, someone gets a headache or an acid stomach upset. Suppose you get tense and tired from muscular fatigue caused by all that driving. And suppose you're a long, long way from a drugstore. Well, all you need to do is reach for that package of Alka-Seltzer and help yourself to welcome fast relief. Before you start on that vacation trip, go to your druggist and buy two packages of Alka-Seltzer. Keep one at home as usual and take the other with you wherever you go. Yes, an extra package in the car can act just like a spare. You may not need to use it, but it's wise to have it there.
Now, when we had our board of mothers here on the program on Mother's Day, the only question that stumped the mothers was one on the original meaning of Latin expressions that we use in everyday conversation. Now then, William Boyd Caldwell of Lynchburg, Virginia, wants to see if you fathers can do any better on the same type of question. What is the literal translation of these Latin expressions? The first one, habeas corpus. Big Pat.
You may have the body.
Well, I'm going to hold you right down to the exact meaning of those words. You're very close, Pat. Let's see, we had another hand up there, Julius. Mr. Cooks?
Bring back the body.
No. Oh, we're getting away from the body with an answer like that. Would you like to try again on this, Big Pat? Habeas corpus, the literal translation. What does habeas mean?
It's
It's one form of the verb bahabio, meaning to have.
Well,
I have the body, or you. I think it's.
What? What do you think?
You have the body.
You have the body. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. You have the body. All right. Now the literal translation on et cetera. Big Pat again.
I'll take my hand down.
You take your hand down. All right. Let's see. Naomi.
And so forth.
No, honey. You're close. Literal translation, et cetera. Let's see if we can work this out. Et means what? Joel?
It means and. I think and. It's and the like.
No, you're right on et. What does cetera mean, Mr. Mullen?
And also.
No, not exactly. Big Pat.
And following.
No. Little Pat.
And more?
Well, you're very close. Do we give up on this? Et cetera. Et means and. Going, gone. Cetera means other things, so it would be and other things. That is the literal translation. Well, say, that was a miss. Uh-huh. And that means that William Boyd Caldwell of Lynchburg, Virginia, wins a big Zenith radio phonograph combination from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. If I recall correctly, the fathers and the mothers are even on that score there. Mrs. Mary Kennedy of New Orleans, Louisiana, got the idea for this question when she heard that both Joel and his dad, Mr. Copperman, were going to be on our program today. She recalls that several weeks ago, Joel won a race in addition in competition with a Chinese abacus and an adding machine, and before that, he beat some college professors. Today, she would like to have Joel compete with what probably will be the toughest competition he'll ever face, his own father. Now, I'll give you two math experts, 8 two-digit numbers in rapid succession. As soon as you have added them, call out your totals. Okay, let's see who is faster, father or son. Here we go. 77, 84, 18, 62, 43, 59, 67, and the last number is 36. Total. Yeah, you didn't keep
They're
up
too
with
fast.
Oh, a little too fast, huh? Well, I'll tell you, maybe I did go a bit too fast that time. Let's try it again with different numbers, and I won't give them quite so fast this time, but almost. All right, I'll listen closely. Here we go. 27, 94, 68, 39, 45, 16, 81, and the last number,
53.
423. Huh? 423, both right on the nose, father and son. How do you like that? It's a tie. Yes, sirree. Father and son right on the nose. 423 was the total, and so we're going to have to call the tie. Big Pat has something
we
to
We claim a winner there. We protest that because Joe didn't call, put his hand up and Saul had his
you
hand
don't
up.
Have, you didn't have... I didn't say that you had to put
point.
Your hand up. No, sirree. I said you call out the total, and Joel heard me, and so did Mr. Copperman. So we're going to call that a tie. Now we never know, we'll know who is the quickest, will we? All right, here we go with the next question. Mrs. Bertha Leonard of Auburn, Washington, sends in a series of three important dates on which noteworthy events took place. Now I'm going to give you the first two dates, and you are to think of a third date on which the next similar event occurred to complete the series. The first two dates are April 25th, 1898, and April 6th, 1917. What is the next date on which a similar event took place? Joel.
I don't know the exact. I believe it was September 2nd. Well, with Germany, it was September 2nd, 1945, I believe it was. Those are the dates of the endings of our last two wars.
Well, that doesn't answer the question that I've posed here. Little Pat.
Well, wasn't that the date of the beginnings of the last two? The Spanish-American, I think it was, and also the World War One.
Well, now, wait a minute. Saul?
December the 7th, 1942.
Well, why do you say December 7th?
Well, that was the day after Pearl Harbor, and I think we declared war.
No, I think you find... wait a minute. We have two kids' hands up. Joel?
Well, December 7th, 1941 was the attack on Pearl Harbor. I believe the war resolution passed Congress, though, the next day, December the 8th.
December the 8th, and...
of 1941.
So how does that work in with the other two dates?
Well, those are our last three wars, and those are the beginnings of all of them.
That's right. April 25th, 1898, the United States declared war on Spain. April 6th, 1917, U.S. Declared war on Germany and other Central Powers. And December 8th, 1941, United States declared war on Japan. All right, fine. Now, let's see what we can do with this next part. The first two dates are May 14th, 1937, and February 9th, 1940. What is the next date on which a similar event took place? Little Pat.
Well, I should know this. I'd be blushing if I didn't.
Oh.
May 14th, 1937 was my birthday, and then February the 9th, 1940 was Cecil's birthday. It'd be September the 16th, 1946 was Deirdre's birthday.
That's right, uh-huh. And
baby.
Look at your father's face over here. Is he blushing? Well, that's all right. That was a lot of fun. Since the Republican and Democratic National Conventions will soon be held at Philadelphia, Mrs. Robert Hogan of River Forest, Illinois, wants Howard Peterson to play songs that suggest cities where conventions have been held in the past. You are to name a candidate who was nominated there. All right, Howard. Big Pat.
Name of the piece is Chicago.
Chicago.
And that's several conventions held in Chicago.
Oh,
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated here.
Yes. That's all you have to name, you know. Right. You going to stop there? You want to name two, huh? All right, Joel has one.
Wasn't Teddy Roosevelt nominated here?
That's right, back in 1904, huh? Now then, Howard, let's have the next one. All right, any hands? Sal Copperman.
Well, that's St. Louis, but I can't think of who was nominated there.
Well, that's, what is the full title of that tune?
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis. Uh-huh, all right. And you can't think of anyone that was nominated in St. Louis? How about both boards? No hands up. We got the title of the song. We've got the locale. St. Louis is a city. So, Joel?
Well, I don't know, but I imagine it was a Democrat and passed 1900 because it's a Democrat stronghold. And since it's a western city, it would have to be 1900. So I'll say Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson, right? Yes, sir. All right, let's see now. The judges have handed me the scores up till now. At this point, the dads have 45 points. The quiz kids, 90 points. Well, what do you know? I guess I don't have to help you quiz kids out. You're doing fine. Yes, sir, you do. Big Pat.
Joe, that's mighty nice of you to be willing to help the quiz kids, but don't you think that we need your help more than they do? After all, you're a dad yourself.
Well,
why don't you come over to our board?
Well, I'll tell you, come to think of it, that does sound like the right thing to do. We dads have to stick together.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it. And I'll just ask my son, Joe Jr., to take over the teacher's desk. He came down to visit me on Father's Day, so I brought him along to school. This way we can just, you know, sort of keep things in the family. And here he is, Joe Kelly Jr. Joseph, my boy, here are the rest of the questions. So you go right ahead.
Well, thanks a lot, Dad, but really I won't need those questions because the judges have just handed me some brand new ones that you haven't seen. So
well,
we want to keep this keep this fair and square, so I'll use these.
Well, now wait a minute here. What am I getting into? Look, we'll just forget the whole thing, Joey.
No, we won't. We're going to see this through. You get over there with the quiz kids, or rather with the fathers, and I'll take a moment to look over these questions while Bob Murphy takes over.
All right, Joe. Well, this is one day of the year, Father's Day, when dads are on their best behavior. But what about the other 364 days? Are there ever times when little son Jimmy can say,
Mom, Dad's not fair. He broke his promise to me.
Why, Jimmy, that's no way to talk about your father.
You know, he never breaks a promise.
But he did. He did this time. He said he wouldn't. Now he says he won't. And, oh, gee, Mom, he did promise me.
Now, wait a minute, Jimmy. Suppose you calm down and tell me what this is all about. What did your father promise to do?
He promised to take me to the baseball game. That's what. And now he says he won't. That's breaking a promise.
Well, your father must have some very good reason, Jimmy. Didn't he tell you why he couldn't take you to the game?
Well, yes. He says he has a headache. But that's no reason.
Oh, yes, it is, Jimmy. But, well, I think we can do something about it.
You mean you can make him change his mind, Mom? Can you really?
Well, I can't, but Alka-Seltzer can. I'll fix a glass for him right away, and you can take it in to him. How's that?
That's just the thing, Mother, and it goes without saying Jimmy will see his ball game, for Alka-Seltzer will have Dad feeling ship-shape and in record time, too. Yes, Alka-Seltzer's really fast, really effective when it comes to headache relief, friends. Its pain-relieving ingredient is already dissolved when you drink it, so Alka-Seltzer's right ready to go to work on your discomfort, ready to bring you welcome relief from pain. So depend on Alka-Seltzer when a miserable headache threatens to interfere with your plan. Just remember, misery can be brief when you take Alka-Seltzer for relief. Get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore.
Okay, Bob Merkin, I'm all set over here. And say, Dad, are you ready to give the dad your best?
Well, look, I'll go. Take it easy. Never mind about me. You get busy on those questions, son.
Well, I'll do that, Dad. Just as soon as I find my questions over here. I'd like to call for the poems right about now. And, Dad, we'd like to hear from you, first of all.
Well, listen, I haven't written a poem. That was an assignment for the fathers on the board.
Well, I know, but you're a father, too, so what the heck? It's just the same difference, I think.
I know, but I haven't had much time, see?
Well, the other fathers haven't had much time either, Dad, so just do the best you can, and I'll call on the others in the meantime. So, Mr. Conlon, you're sitting over there first. Will you read your poem, please?
This is a terrible attempt at poetry, but it means something. Nevertheless, roses are red, violets are blue. Be always faithful, honest, and true.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Conlon. Really. And right on Mr. Conlon's right is Mr. Kupperman. Mr. Kupperman?
Well, this is not good poetry. It might be good advice. There is no better advice than this. Be true to yourself, set your own standard. It might not make life a bliss, but living with yourself won't be so hard.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Mr. Kupperman. And now Mr. Cook's over there, sir.
Well, this is not so good either. Be kind and true whenever you can, and you will never have to feel sad and blue.
Well, sorry. And Mr. Mullen, you all set, sir?
Since my advice has to be in verse, I only hope it doesn't make you worse. If you will but exercise your funny bone, you won't need me when you're on your own.
Well, that takes care of the rest of the fathers. And, Dad, how you doing over there?
Well, let's see now. I'm sorry, baby. There, I got it all set here. This was a tough job. I worked hard on this, too, here. Didn't give me much time. Advice to the younger generation. You sure you want me to read this now? Huh?
Right now.
I've wished and I've wondered, I've thought and I've pondered for advice to all youngsters most essential. No more wishing and wondering, no more thinking and pondering, because, thank goodness, I just broke my pencil.
What? Okay, well, that does us up for the poems this time. Getting back to the questions now, Marie Rosner of Buffalo, New York, hopes to trip you up with this tricky quickie. If the Irish nightingale told you that the Swedish nightingale used to sing about the Virginia nightingale, who would have told you that who sang about what? Pat?
Well, the Swedish nightingale was Jenny Lind.
That's right.
And I am afraid those other two got me stumped.
Well, we have the Irish nightingale and,
yes,
the,
and the Virginia
nightingale. Mr. Kelly, sir?
Why, on the Irish nightingale, let's see, about 40 years ago... Oh, wait a minute, what am I saying? several years ago, when I was a little boy, I was a boy soprano with a stock company, sang in between acts, and they called me Master Joe Kelly, the Irish nightingale, so could that...
That's the exact answer I have right down here in the card.
So
the Irish Nightingale.
Joe Kelly was singing about, what did Pat say?
Well, Pat said Jenny Lind was the Swedish Nightingale.
All right.
And Mike over there has his hand up. That's exactly right, Mike. The Virginia Nightingale is another name for cardinal bird. So, who would have told you that who sang about what?
Well, that's when Joe Kelly would have told me that Jenny Lind sang about the cardinal.
That's right. That's the exact answer we wanted. Well, seeing now that we have two competing boards here today, Miss Catherine Egler of Chicago thinks it would be a swell time to have a relay race. And since you're all sports fans, you are to name sports and games in which a ball is used. Now, I know it sounds easy, but it'll get hard before very long because I'll call first in one team and then the other. And until one side fails to name one in 5 seconds. You all set? Okay, let's go. The games in which a ball is used. Mr. Kupperman?
Soccer.
Soccer, that's right. Joel?
Polo.
Polo. Mr. Cooks?
Football.
Football, right. Pat Mullen?
Baseball.
Baseball. Mr. Cooks again?
Tennis.
Dennis, Joel?
Golf.
Mr. Conlon?
Basketball.
Basketball. Naomi, did you have your hand up on it?
I was just going to say basketball.
Okay, we'll take Mike then.
Cricket.
Well, that was a fast game, so I think we're going to have to call that a tie. And the old school bell means class is over. So the judges will be ready to tell us which is the winning team in just a moment. But right now, we're going to tell you about one-a-day brand vitamins and why your family should use them.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full 2-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins. Good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one a day.
Well, folks, here I am back in my regular place, ready to give you the big news, the final scores in this battle between the Quiz Kids and the Quiz Kids' fathers. Here are the scores. Fathers, 50. Quiz Kids, 100. Congratulations, Quiz Kids. Yes, sir. Congratulations. In spite of my being a big helpless, you youngsters walked off with the top score, but after all, you've had just a little more experience at this than Dad has had. Now, you kids will each receive a $100 security bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. And Dad, even though you lost, you get a fine Father's Day gift from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. It's a companion set. The Camp Cold portable ice box for picnics and the Camp Cook portable stove made by the American Gas Machine Company of Albert Lea, Minnesota. Both are wonderful to take along on trips in the car, on fishing expeditions. In fact, Dad, you're all set for a fine vacation. We've even supplied the Alka-Seltzer. Inside your Camp Cold ice box, you'll find a big vacation-sized package of good old Alka-Seltzer. Now, as far as my Father's Day gift is concerned, having my son Joe Jr. take my place at teacher's desk certainly gave me a big thrill. Today's been a great day for all of us, and we were glad to have Dad here in our classroom. Now, next Sunday, we're calling back our winners of 2 weeks ago. That's Joel, Lonnie, John Galinas, Mark Mullen, competing with Rennie Templeton, age 12. At that time, the Quiz Kids program will be celebrating its 8th anniversary, and we know you listeners won't want to miss this special program. So plan to be present in school, won't you? Fine. Until next Sunday, then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing class. Goodbye, Quiz Kids.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Goodbye, Dad.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every week and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday over most of these NBC stations. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is ChestertonRadio.com.